Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the podcast. I'm Tanner.
I'm Nick.
And today we are talking about just a few of our hobbies.
Just a few. Intro.
RenderForce.com.
And we're back.
We're back.
So today we are talking about a few of our hobbies that we like to do in our spare time.
We don't only just work and make podcasts.
Right, which is, we do that a lot. We work and we make podcasts.
Is this technically a hobby?
And this is technically a hobby, but we're only covering two today. Two big ones that we have.
Tanner's rule. So who goes first?
You, Nick.
Me?
Let's have you go first.
I don't know if I'm ready.
Clean it up. I need shaved.
All right. So one of my hobbies, and Tanner might make fun of me. Y'all might make fun of me for this. One of my favorite hobbies, though, is I have a vast library of, like, documentaries and history stuff. Tanner knows. I like learning about history. History's my passion. So I have a large library, and then people are like, how is that a hobby? I pride myself on the fact that I have a, from the dawn of man, I have hours and hours of professional, I have recorded college classes, I have History Channel documentaries, I have YouTube videos that I've watched all the way through and have been like, yes, this is good. I have a virtual library of videos where if Tanner was like, you know, I heard this event happened at this time, I have them categorized where he could go and find the year, find the event, and I have a documentary for it. And I pride myself. So I brought a book about World War II because that was kind of the thing that got, World War II was the thing that got me into history.
Right.
So I kind of brought a book about that. But yeah, that's one of my hobbies is I go through and I pride myself in this extensive video library I have of human history. And I'm very passionate about it.
Wow.
It's a hobby of mine. Nice. Find a video, I add it in, I like to categorize it. And I've got other stuff, but
makes me feel a little bad about my first one.
What's your first one?
Nick's hobby was very adult.
Is it?
My first hobby that I'm going to talk about today is this little box right here.
We're playing Magic the Gathering.
I play Magic the Gathering. I play the card game as well as the online game now.
The online game's fun.
I live stream to Twitch, but I play with these little pieces of paper right here,
which are worth a lot of money.
Anyone knows anything about Magic, you know how expensive these can be. Inside this little box right here. Here's the problem and good thing about Magic. Magic is a fun game. I like to say that it's Pokemon for adults. And it's a great game. You can play it in the pro tournament for $1 million. Just happened 2 days ago.
Million?
$1 million was the pro tour. So it's a very fun game. A lot of people play it. I know a lot of doctors and lawyers that play Magic the Gathering. It's not just a bunch of little kids.
It's been around since, what, the 80s?
No, the first year for Magic was 1993. So you like to pride yourself on history of the world. I like to pride myself on my history and my knowledge of how much cards cost.
Who created Magic?
Richard Garfield was the creator of Magic. And I actually got him, met him at Dragon Con and had him sign some of my cards, to a few Wastelands. But here is just a kind of an idea of magic.
He's right.
You can get into Magic for the small cost of $5 to $10 if you're playing a red deck. This deck here, I'm kind of embarrassed to say how much this deck costs. This deck is completely foiled out, which means the cards are shiny except for the lands. And last time I looked up what this deck was worth, it was worth probably about $3,800 in this little box.
Well, glad you did. That's why you keep it safe.
Yeah. So magic can be very
overprotective.
Magic can be very cheap. Magic can be very expensive.
I got another test trivia. Mm-hmm. What is the most expensive Magic card?
Well, you're probably not going to know this.
Oh, I've got it pulled up on the internet right here.
Yeah, I guarantee you it's wrong. So the most expensive Magic card in the world, the second most expensive card in the world is a Alpha Black Lotus in absolute mint 10 condition.
It just says Black Lotus.
Black Lotus, yes. Alpha means from the first set. There are Alpha Black Lotuses that sell for upwards of $250,000. For a piece of paper that is alpha, which means the first set, and in perfect condition. But actually, the most expensive card in Magic is a card that can't even be played. It was given to one of the first Pro Tour winners, and it actually has like him on the card, and it is actually It's put into like this glass container, and it's in this statue, and it hovers around inside of it. There was only one ever made. And it is technically the most expensive Magic card in the world, other than, say, the Black Lotus. The Black Lotus is a card that I would... One day, I will own a Black Lotus.
Oh, well, that...
One day.
Damn. Is that all? Yeah. You don't know much, do you?
If you like Magic or are looking to get into it, follow me on Twitch. I live stream Magic Arena all the time, just about every day. And then, actually, if you're watching this on YouTube, you've probably seen my past few Twitch live streams posted to YouTube. It's on the same channel, but it's under a different category.
I was going to say that in some of our past videos, Tanner's told me about that. Talk about the Facebook. Well, you get exclusive content, but Tanner also puts, if you go to our YouTube, you get... also exclusive content, because Tanner posts other things to YouTube. So you'll get witty banter along with some other things.
Yep, but...
We'll talk about that towards the end.
You can follow me on Twitch. It is Tanner_Watson.
Why don't you put it in the video, like right here.
Bloop.
Just edit it
somewhere
in
there. Nick, what is your second?
Tanner will forget. My second. We don't count prepping as a hobby, do we?
No. I mean, you could.
Tanner's like, that's a disorder, not a hobby.
You could count that as a hobby, but I feel like your next one is going to be...
What are you putting your hand on, Tanner?
Something that Nick does that I also enjoy as well.
I play airsoft. Mm. So does Tanner.
I can't even get it in frame.
That's why I put mine down.
I don't know what to do with my hands.
Yeah, I play airsoft.
That's heavy.
I never played airsoft before, but I formed a history club. Which Tanner says I'm not allowed to talk in great detail about until...
We're going to do a whole video.
Yeah, so I'm not allowed to talk about it. You were going to hear a crap ton about it today. Tanner said, no, it gets its own video.
Own video.
So, I had a history club. In that history club, I was introduced by some people who were in it.
History.
In it to airsoft. And I liked it. I played it. I enjoyed it. I actually had a small team that played like two or three times in the history club before it disbanded. And I got into it. And, I can talk about playing airsoft.
Yeah.
I just can't talk about the history club.
Right.
See, Tanner puts handcuffs on me sometimes. He's like, I got a video idea. You're not ruining it.
Right. So, yeah, you talk all about airsoft you want.
All right.
Here we go.
Airsoft.
I enjoy airsoft as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's fun.
Yeah.
It's fun. Everybody's like, paintball. You know, we need to do a debate video, paintball.
Yes, we do.
Airsoft.
I played paintball when I was a kid, but it's so expensive. So expensive.
It's a lot cheaper to play airsoft.
Yeah.
The only problem is, and it is true, people get hit and they don't call their hits. And they're like, you didn't hit me. And they start shooting back. Which, and in paintball, you can't deny it because you got this big splatter of paint.
Yeah.
But we ain't rich, and it's expensive to play paintball, so we play airsoft. Trying to think.
Hey guys, you're watching Witty Banter, and we've got some advertising opportunities coming up very soon on the podcast. If you want to advertise your business, company, anything you've got going on, if you want to advertise it and get it out there, we are more than happy to put a plug for you onto the podcast. It'll go out there. If you're interested, please email us at the email below, and we'd love to set it up.
And we're back. So, Tanner wants me to, during the break, Tanner said that you need to talk about airsoft, and you need to share, like, your first experiences with it, blah, blah, blah. First time I played airsoft was at a small little field in Georgia called High Point. and I played with like a few, like we had a history club. So I came, we all wore like same uniform kind of as a team, but we didn't really know anybody. So we weren't going to be in there and be like, oh, we're only fighting with ourselves. So we kind of split up and everything. Right. Anyways, we had a really good time, but we wound up getting into it. It was really enjoyable. So I bought my first airsoft gun, which was I can't remember where I got it from. I think I got it from Sportsman's Warehouse. Mm-hmm. It was a Famas. I'm trying to remember the brand. I don't remember the brand, but it was a clear Famas. I loved that gun. I loved that gun. It was a good gun. I loved it. But when I went out there to play airsoft and we were going through like, you know, different rooms, they have, you know, it's like a little city and we were going through and stuff, and I would shoot, I kept noticing it was too long. Like, even though the Famas, if you know the actual design of a Famas, the rail goes all the way down the gun to the very end. So the entire length of the gun is a barrel. So it's supposed to, and the real thing gives you length, like, you know, distance, as well as being, compact.
Right.
And it has the bullpup. I like the bullpup design. So I got it though, but my airsoft gun being the brand that it was, I didn't get the distance I wanted, and it was kind of awkward and bulky and it didn't fit. It was hard to get the battery. So I scrapped it and was like, next. So the next one I got was an AK-74U, and I got it. I got all the cool mags, which I've now given to Tanner for it, and I got everything. And
for
I went and played, and the reason I got rid of it was we were playing at High Point, and they had a thing called the Terrorist Camp. And when one team defended the camp, one team attacked the camp, and it was our turn to attack the camp. So everyone just like flooded towards it, and I told like, my brother, it was me, my brother, and like one or two other guys from the history club. And I was like, we had went first and went through to see what it was like and got killed. And I was like, we're not doing that again. He's like, what? I was like, look how they're fighting.
Right.
They've got, every dude is facing this way. And I looked at my brother and I was like, flank? I was like, yeah, we're going flank. So we we went down to the woods, and now they had a line. We didn't cross out of the line. Maybe if we did, we didn't mean to.
Right.
But there was no sign that was like, do not cross this point. The judge didn't say, hey, you can't go this way.
Right.
They just said, here's the battlefield. So I was like, this is stupid. Everyone's just like this. And if you look at it like this, so we went this way. And I came over the side, and when I did, I had that AK, and we all started firing. And they were getting some hits in, but when I was firing, my pellets were going up to, they were behind a car. It was going to the car and falling short. So I raised it up even higher and shot, and it was falling short. So I climbed a little further, and I couldn't get it. And by the time I got close enough, they just went and hit me. And I was, about broke that gun in half.
Yeah.
I was like, this thing is trash. So I said, I got to get another one. So I went. And those who play airsoft who watch this will know this is a good gun brand. I got an Echo 1.
Me too.
I got an M4 Echo 1. I put the flashlight on. I feel like such a nerd right now. Whatever, though. Whatever. I get competitive. I got a 1,000-round self-winding mag that went on it that basically made it like a light machine gun. And I took that thing, and I was ready. And my brother, he got this sniper rifle that Tanner seen that's fully or semi-automatic. And we were going to go. At the time, the History Club, people stopped showing up. Tanner told me not to talk about it much, and it starts to fall apart a little bit. But me and my brother, like, if we have to two-man sniper team, we're going to go, we're going to have fun, we enjoy this, we're competitive, we're going to do it. I was like, yes. And we got our guns together, and I was working the first time at Target.
Right.
And High Point announces it's closing. And the last day to play, I have to work, and they will not let me off.
That sucks.
I bought this gun to play there, and it closed.
That sucks.
So I didn't have anywhere to play. My heart was broken. So I went. I looked for other places. There's one place around here called Airsoft Tactical.
Mm-hmm.
But when I went there, they told me that the FPS was too high on it. They had a limit, and mine was too high. So I couldn't play there. So we went to Insane, and we played, and we had a great time. It was a dude that used to be in the History Club, my brother and me. The three of us went. We had a really good time.
Mm-hmm.
It was really good playing. I highly recommend it. But then they told us. They were like, yeah, we had a really good time. We didn't go for like 2 or 3 months. And then they said, oh, yeah, we played like the entire area. They had the building open and the field open. They said, well, we're not going to do open field with airsoft anymore. It'll just be indoors. And I was like, never went back.
Mm.
Never went back. Loved it, but never went back.
Yeah.
So now I don't really have anywhere, and I haven't played in a very, I can't stress, like 3 years, until Tanner was like, oh, I'll try it out. So Tanner bought him a gun and went out there, and we played, and we had a really good time.
Yep.
Had a fantastic time. I'm trying to think of, like, stories. I feel like it's so nerdy to talk about, no, like, stories. No.
I just talked about Magic the Gathering. You made fun of me right there.
Magic the Gathering.
I had an experience with Airsoft whenever I was younger.
I got two stories to share after yours.
We played paintball, like, every weekend, and it got very, very expensive to where, like, my parents were annoyed that I was like, hey, can you buy me some more paintballs? Can you buy me? So, like,
no!
I'll never forget it. My uncle had a semi-pistol.
Little spring pistols, yeah.
You had to do this every time you wanted to shoot, and the clip held, like, 20 bullets. And so we were all like, well, we're going to go play airsoft. I didn't have an airsoft gun, so my uncle gave me that pistol. And I was like, oh, man, this is awesome. And then we get out there, and I'm playing against people with guns like these, where it's just like they hold down fully auto, and it shoots 30, 40 bullets, fucking self-winding mags and stuff, all this crazy stuff. And I'm going, ow!
That's another thing. You get hit by these things, that hurts.
It does hurt. It's like getting shot with a BB gun.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, and then, like, they had, like, shotguns where it shoots, like, a bunch of it. Like, it was so much fun.
It's crazy.
But I got my ass beat. And I was like, you know what? This is great. But I'm not going to play against all these guys. Because back then, these were insanely expensive airsoft guns. Like, the prices are still expensive depending on what you're wanting, but the prices have drastically come down.
But cheaper than paintball.
They're a lot cheaper than paintball.
A lot cheaper
than paintball. And so I got out of it for a while till Nick was like, hey, man, we're playing airsoft. And
well, my brother was like, I want to play again. I'm like, yeah, me too. But, two people, we need more people. Right. So we got Tanner to play.
Right.
So hopefully we can get some more people and go somewhere big like Atlanta or something.
If you want to play, comment down below. We'll meet you in Atlanta.
Anyway, so I've got two stories. They're not really great, but I've got two stories. One of them was when we played at High Point. We played, I think we played the terrorist, and we had to blow up the embassy.
Yep.
How dope is that?
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
So at the time, I had my AK, so I, really carried the terrorist thing using a Soviet weapon. Yeah. Anyway, so we all break up into groups. It was me. I don't remember the dude's name, but me and this dude, our job was to clear the embassy. Now, when we first go, we stack up on the door, and as soon as he pops in, he gets hit, and he's like, out. I'm like, okay, crap. So I'm getting ready to go in, and when I do like this and look in, the guy's running up the steps. I shoot after him. I miss him. But then his buddy, I see him move. I see legs.
Right.
So I shoot at legs. What I don't see is there's a dude behind a wall that steps out and lights me up. So I'm dead. I go back. So I tell him again. I'm like, okay, this time. He's like, what do you want to do? And I was like, I don't know, man. And he was like, I got an idea. I'm going to go through this door. You go through this door. Don't stack up together. Right. So I get to the side of the door. I don't know how we're going to communicate because we didn't have any like walkies or anything.
Yeah.
So I hear, go! And I was like, what? Okay, so I go. And then I hear, ah! And I just hear like pellets flying. So I'm like, what the crap? And I guess they just had a slugfest, but my dude won.
Yeah.
So he starts going in. So I can't really hear what he's doing. So I go in and I clear the rest of the bottom. I'm like, clear! And then I hear he's going up steps. And I hear, don't you do it. And I'm like, what? So I grab my gun and I walk up the steps. And when I come right up, my dude is like, he was like walking up the steps and then jerked his gun up and is like this, pointing at the guy. And the other dude's pointing down at him like this. And they're so close. There's a rule. You're not supposed to shoot in a certain distance. And that my guy said bang, which is like the bang policy, which is I'm too close to shoot.
It's a courtesy kill.
The courtesy kill. And he goes, and the dude that we were playing against, he goes, I don't do that. I don't do the bang kills. So it's like a Mexican standoff. So they're sitting there staring at each other. And I wait, and it goes. It seems like it went on forever. My dude's like, dude, you're out. Just leave. He's like, because he was the last dude guarding the embassy. He's like, no way.
Yeah.
So I was like, say something cool. So I was like, now you messed up. And he was like, he looked at me. He has a pistol. So he reaches and grabs his pistol and points it at me. So he's literally like dueling. Now he's got like a rifle in this hand pointed at my friend, and then he's pointing like an airsoft pistol at me, and he had a CO2 pistol.
Oh, wow.
That thing hurts.
Yeah.
So he's pointing like this, and he goes, okay. He goes, I don't do the bang kill here. And the other guy goes, look, man, I got you dead to rights. He goes, I don't care. And then I just went, boop, and I just shot him right in the chest.
Nice.
Because they were, like, talking. He's like, it was like one of those stand-ups in the movies. He's like, well, I don't do, like, he was going to give some kind of speech. And I was like, pop, pop.
Nice.
And then I walked up, and he just looked at me like, you just cut my speech down.
Yeah.
What's wrong with you?
Yeah, you just destroyed my moment.
So we go into the building, and the guy who was, like, overseeing the games, he played airsoft too. He used to be in the military. He was,
nice.
I don't know what he did in the army. But anyway, so there's supposed to be a bomb in the embassy, and we start yelling, and there's judges all over the place. We're like, where's the bomb? There's no bomb! Because the other team's regrouping, and they're coming back. Yeah. So there's, like, dudes from the history club and, like, dudes that are playing. They're, like, there's a firefight going on. We're in the embassy, like, where's the bomb?
Yeah.
And the judge is up there goes, is it not in here? We're like, no. He goes, oh, damn it. He goes, hold on. And so the dude, I'm going to call him Cliff. I don't remember his name. I swear to God, he comes up with a cigar in his mouth. He was out there smoking and was like, yeah, I forgot to bring this in, and throws it down on the thing. He goes, so y'all going to blow up the embassy, right? And he's like, yeah. He goes, hell yeah, and throws his lighter. He goes, light it. And we, like, light the bomb. We're like, yeah, yeah, yeah. And it's this huge firecracker. And he's like, good job, boys. And then walks out. And we're like, no. He goes, but you got to defend it. Don't let them put it out. We're like, yeah. So we're all sitting there. We're like holding our guns. We're like, yeah, this is great. And then we're looking, and it's just. And finally, I go, nervous Nick. I go, that's a pretty big firecracker. And everybody's like. I mean, the firecracker's like the size of my phone. It had like four fuses tied together, and it was like going down. And we're like, yeah. So we set it in the room. We got to like slowly start backing. By the end of it, we're all in like the lower floor just waiting. The sound. We were expecting like, boom. Instead, it was like, pow, and everything rattled. I'm like, thank God we were not in that room.
He wanted you to stay in that room.
And then he had like this air horn. He'd do, do, do. And that was one of the most fun times I had. My brother would say his most fun times when we played Hungry Hungry Hippos, which they had these logs where they had chopped up trees, and they hid them everywhere. So your job was to, you had to find them, and then you had to bring them into your camp.
Okay.
One of them was like the hotel, and then one of them was like, I don't know, it was like the school or something. Anyways, so we're going through, we found some. But anyways, the highlight of the game is I'm sitting there, I'm laying on my stomach shooting, and I keep hearing something in the bushes behind me. And I don't like to say names, but I'm playing with somebody, and I'm like, hey, man, just focus here for a second. And I go, what in the hell are you doing in those bushes? And my brother comes out holding an M4 in one hand, shirtless, covered in mud. I don't know where his shirt went, covered in mud, holding a log with his eyes bloodshot, with his back, like pellets all over his back. And he looks at me like something out of like a Vietnam movie. I'm going to try to censor him. He's like, we got to move, man. They're all over the place. Run. And then just takes off. And I'm like, what the hell?
That is fantastic.
What happened on the other side of the field? So I get up and run with him. I don't even want to go into it. It was just a crazy day, man. He looked like he had PTSD.
That's a hell of a story.
Yeah. Because when he started, he had like a camo jacket on and a t-shirt. And then the next time, like 5 minutes passed, he's shirtless, covered with pellet marks.
Covered in mud.
Covered, I don't know where the mud came from. It ain't rained like a month. I don't know where to get the mud. Might have been crap, I don't know.
Wow.
But yeah, it was incredible. Then we played, and when we played an Insane, we got inside, they had like some kind of castle, we got in there. And that's when I had this gun, and I had that electric pistol that I gave to Tanner.
Yep.
And, dude, that was pretty epic because it was like, what you see in the movies because everybody was playing and then we were up here and we started shooting people and then they started realizing where we were.
Yeah.
And then it went from, hey, this is a good vantage point to,
yeah,
when you're hiding behind the wall, like, God dang it.
Yeah.
Fun though. Fun. So we hope to have more experiences like that and take you and let you experience some of it. And it's a good time. It's probably the most fun I've had since I did like reenacting.
Nice.
So
nice.
Good stuff, man.
My second.
Wow, I just went on for a really long time.
My second.
What's your second,
is photography. It looks so little. This is a Canon AE-1 program. This is a 35mm camera. I enjoy doing photography. I do it for money. I do weddings. I do it just for fun.
Is that a plug out here?
There's... There's
at Tanner Cinematography.
I literally take pictures every single day. Whether that be with a 35mm camera, the camera that we're shooting this podcast on now, my phone, some way I'm taking a picture.
What do we shoot the podcast on? Maybe if there's some camera people out there, they'd like to know what we actually film on.
Okay, so currently we're shooting, this is the Canon 77D. It's a good little camera. It's almost the same as the 70D. It's the newer version of the 70D. And it's just smaller and more compact, so you can carry it around. It has a flip-up screen. It's a great little camera. I have like four of these Canon AE-1s. I have a Nikon version of this, a Pentax. I have a lot of 35mm cameras. I have a 5D Mark II. I'm currently in a bidding war for a 5D Mark IV.
Wow, big money.
A 5D Mark IV is a very expensive camera. It's like $3,000 or $4,000. But that's what I want to upgrade to, and then eventually go to the 1DX Mark II, or maybe the 1DX Mark III, whenever it is announced and comes out. But photography is a huge one for me. I love taking pictures. I remember like being a little kid, and my parents giving me like little spy cameras, and me running around like snapping pictures with a little spy camera and thinking I was the coolest thing ever. And then like I had spy cameras and 35mm cameras like these growing up my whole life. I never really had a digital camera. Then my parents bought me this little Nikon like piece of crap little camera, and I loved it.
I bet they didn't think it was a piece of crap.
Oh, no. Well, it wasn't back in the day, but looking back now, that thing was rough. But it was a good camera at the time, and like I took that thing everywhere we went. Everywhere we went, I took it and was taking pictures of everything. And then my first DSLR, my mom actually bought me in high school. I got out of photography for a while. And until I was like, man, I really, really want to get back into that, but I don't have a camera anymore. I'd gotten rid of all my little digital cameras and stuff. And my mom bought me my first DSLR, which is a larger camera like this.
You did a podcast, or not podcast, vlogging. Was that the camera?
What do you mean?
Most people probably don't know, but back in the day, not too terribly long ago, maybe 3 or 4 years ago, you did a daily vlog.
I did do daily vlog for
a while. Was that the camera that they gave you?
No.
Last one?
That was, I vlog and still vlog every now and then, very seldom. That's the Canon G7X. That's my vlogging camera. But a DSLR is like a larger camera. It's not like a little point and shoot camera. This, a digital, a DSLR, you have to put a lens on and all that stuff. That was like a fixed focal length.
Okay.
But where was I going?
I'm sorry, I completely derailed you.
You're good. You're good. You're good. But I have a lot of cameras, and oh, my first DSLR. My mom bought my first DSLR. It was a Nikon, and it didn't shoot video. All it did was take pictures, and I used that camera for years. Years I used that camera. Now. Like, oh, well, honestly, for the past few years, I don't really use anything Nikon. Everything I shoot is Canon. Any Nikon cameras that I have sit on my camera shelf, and I don't really mess with them very often. Canon is, all of my glass is Canon, so
Canon
I kinda
stick is made
with that.
In Japan.
It's a Japanese company.
I know that.
But I, so is Nikon.
I know that either.
Yeah, that's the battery door.
Oh.
But so I really enjoy taking pictures. I have a photography business where, I do photos and video. I'm actually doing like video for a few businesses in town. I'm shooting commercials for them. I do weddings and all kinds of things for, video and photography. You can look me up, Tanner Watson Productions.
Awesome. By the way, do you want to talk about the vlogs you used to do? You want to talk about that another day?
That's probably a video for another day. That's a long one.
Well, anybody who likes vlogs, Tanner said he has past vlogs. You can check out it once again if you go to our YouTube channel. It's a YouTube exclusive. You can see Tanner's vlogs in the past. But Tanner said that from when we started doing the podcast, that if me and him ever go on vacation, we have to vlog it.
Yeah.
Or at least have some footage. So if we ever go on vacation, which we're both going to
pretty soon.
Very soon, you will see a terrible vlog from me being forced by his best friend to do it. And then probably just
mediocre.
About,
I haven't been doing it in a
pretty
while.
Damn good one. Tanner was really good at vlogging. But you should want to end it there?
Man. Yeah, we'll end it there. Thanks for coming along, guys. Please comment down below with a few of your hobbies that you like to enjoy and do. If you're listening to this on the podcasting apps, you're a special animal. There's not a lot of you out there, and some of these podcasts, there are a visual aspect too. So think about checking it out.
So the people on the podcast didn't see our...
Right, don't see. We held up our airsoft guns and my camera, and I actually showed a few magic cards. If you are on the podcasting app, thank you for listening. We love it. But think about checking it out on YouTube, because there are some visual aspects to some of our podcasts.
Or Facebook.
Also Facebook. Nick is currently constructing the Facebook page and making it very full, posting all of our past videos and things now. We get on Facebook a lot more because we can interact with the audience, with you guys, more than we can on just YouTube.
Yes, if you want to look at our different content through different areas, if you go to Anchor, our favorite podcast site, we highly recommend it. You can get our podcast unedited, the full, complete. Yes. If we slip up and say something we shouldn't, or if we cough or sneeze, you're
all
getting
there.
The full thing. Everything raw dog is on Anchor. If you go to YouTube exclusive content is Tanner does Twitch streams. Tanner, when he sometimes does tech reviews, he'll put it on the channel. You'll get witty banter. He's also got past videos from where he used to vlog that we talked shortly about. All that's exclusive YouTube content. And then on Facebook, we have more interactive stuff. You can talk to us directly. I read all the comments. Thank you, Steve, for commenting. just throwing that out there. So you can check us out. You can talk to us. We have polls, debates. We ask you questions. You can engage with us. So check us out on all three things: Anchor, YouTube, and Facebook.
Yep. But thanks for coming along, guys. And we'll start working on another topic for you.
We'll see y'all later.